Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Dictator's Handbook by Bruce Bueno de Mesquita explains why leaders across democracies, monarchies, and autocracies so often behave in ways that look selfish, cruel, or corrupt. The core claim is that political survival follows a consistent logic. Rulers stay in power by keeping a small set of essential supporters satisfied and by ensuring potential rivals cannot assemble a winning coalition. Rather than treating tyranny, patronage, and repression as cultural accidents or personal flaws, the book frames them as predictable outcomes of incentives built into institutions. Using ideas from selectorate theory, it contrasts systems where many people matter to leadership with those where only a few do, showing how that difference shapes public goods, private rewards, and accountability. The result is a practical lens for interpreting elections, coups, foreign aid, policy bargains, and sudden crackdowns, while also clarifying why reform is hard and why even well-intentioned leaders often disappoint. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, selectorates, winning coalitions, and the real mechanics of power. A central topic is the distinction between the selectorate and the winning coalition. The selectorate is the pool of people who have some say in choosing a leader, while the winning coalition is the smaller subset whose ongoing support is necessary for that leader to remain in office. The book argues that this relationship, more than ideology or personal virtue, predicts how leaders govern. When the winning coalition is small, leaders can survive by rewarding a narrow group with targeted benefits, jobs, contracts, and privileges. When the winning coalition is large, leaders must appeal to many people, which pushes them toward policies that are broadly beneficial. This framework helps explain why some regimes deliver roads, schools, and reliable courts, while others funnel resources into security services and elite enrichment. It also explains why political rhetoric often diverges from political reality. Public messages aim to legitimize rule, but day-to-day decisions prioritize coalition maintenance. By focusing on who matters for survival and how expensive it is to buy loyalty, the book offers a portable tool for analyzing everything from party machines to military juntas. Secondly, private rewards versus public goods. Why corruption can be rational. Another key topic is how leaders choose between providing public goods and distributing private rewards. Public goods benefit many people at once, such as infrastructure, stable money, public health, and rule of law. Private rewards are excludable benefits directed to supporters, such as patronage positions, cash transfers to insiders, monopolies, or impunity from prosecution. The book contends that leaders select the cheaper path to survival. In small coalition systems, public goods are an inefficient way to buy loyalty because they also help non-supporters and potential rivals. It is often more effective to concentrate spending on a handful of essential backers, even if that produces visible corruption and economic stagnation. In large coalition systems, private rewards become too costly because too many supporters must be paid off, so leaders have stronger incentives to invest in public goods that raise overall welfare and tax capacity. This perspective reframes corruption not simply as moral failure, but as an equilibrium produced by institutional incentives. It also clarifies why anti-corruption drives can be cosmetic. If the underlying coalition logic is unchanged, new forms of rent-seeking replace old ones. Thirdly, loyalty, fear, and the handling of rivals. The book emphasizes that political survival depends on managing threats from rivals as much as on satisfying supporters. Leaders work to increase the loyalty of their coalition while reducing the ability of outsiders to coordinate against them. In small coalition regimes, loyalty can be reinforced through dependence, where key supporters receive benefits that would vanish if leadership changes. This creates a shared risk that binds elites to the incumbent. At the same time, leaders may weaken institutions that could enable coordination, including independent courts, free media, and professional bureaucracies, because such institutions lower the cost of organizing opposition. The logic also sheds light on repression. Coercion is not used randomly. It is often targeted to deter challengers, intimidate fence sitters, and signal strength to insiders. Yet repression has costs, including international pressure and domestic backlash, so leaders balance brutality with selective concessions. The framework also helps interpret purges and reshuffles. Removing powerful insiders can prevent coups, but it can also destabilize the coalition if done recklessly. Overall, the topic shows how fear and rewards operate together as tools for survival, not as contradictory impulses. Fourthly, foreign aid, sanctions, and why. External pressure often misfires. A major topic is the impact of outside money and pressure on domestic political incentives. The book argues that foreign aid commonly strengthens bad governance when it enlarges the resources leaders can distribute to their winning coalition without needing to build a productive economy. If leaders can fund loyalists through aid, natural resource rents, or external patronage, they may have less reason to provide public goods, broaden participation, or tolerate accountability. This is one reason well-meaning assistance can entrench autocrats and prolong conflict. Sanctions and conditionality can also backfire when they inadvertently tighten elite dependence on the leader or allow rulers to blame outsiders for hardship. The book suggests that effective external influence requires aligning incentives so that leaders gain survival value from better governance rather than from repression and patronage. That can mean targeting benefits to citizens directly, supporting transparency that raises the cost of corruption, or designing penalties that fracture elite loyalty rather than punish the general population. The topic encourages readers to evaluate international policy by asking a simple question. Does this action change the leader's coalition math, or does it merely add resources and narratives that help them endure? Lastly, paths to reform, changing incentives. Instead of trusting virtue, the final important topic is what reform can realistically look like once politics is understood as a survival game. The book is skeptical of solutions based on hoping for benevolent leaders, because even well-intentioned rulers face the same incentive, structures, and risk removal if they ignore coalition needs. Sustainable change typically requires shifting the size or composition of the winning coalition, increasing the value of public goods, and raising the costs of private rewards. Institutions that expand participation, protect competition, and make information widely available can push leaders toward broader benefit policies. Likewise, independent auditing, predictable legal enforcement, and constraints on discretionary spending can reduce the efficiency of patronage. The book also highlights the role of credible threats. Leaders adopt reforms when they believe non-compliance risks, loss of power, and when compliant behavior can still secure coalition support. For citizens and reformers, the practical implication is to focus on mechanisms that alter incentives, such as building coalitions across groups, limiting opportunities for elite capture, and creating pathways for peaceful leadership turnover. This topic reframes reform as engineering, the rules of survival, rather than pleading for better character. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear, unsentimental model of how power works. Students of politics, business leaders dealing with regulation or instability, journalists, policy professionals, and curious citizens trying to interpret headlines without relying on personalities or stereotypes. It benefits a reader's life by supplying a repeatable way to diagnose incentives. Instead of asking why a leader is greedy or cruel, you learn to ask who keeps that leader in office, what those people demand, and how the regime funds loyalty. That shift improves judgment about elections, reforms, corruption scandals, foreign interventions, and the likely outcomes of pressure campaigns. The book is also useful for anyone interested in institutional design, because it links governance quality to the size of the coalition a leader must satisfy. Compared with many political books that focus on ideology, culture, or individual psychology, its advantage is simplicity with explanatory reach. The Selectorate framework can be applied across countries and eras, making it more practical than case-specific narratives and more concrete than purely moral critiques. If you want one purchase that strengthens your ability to forecast political behavior and spot incentive traps, it is a strong choice. If you would like to support Bruce Bueno de Mesquita, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around. 100 Natted Overwort.